WAFQ.
Good morning, K8RUH.
Good morning. Oh, man. Feeling a little sleepy today. It's been a little late for me, but not real late. How's your morning going?
It is going. I can totally agree with you. I have been staying up too late for the last 4 or 5 nights, and it is affecting me.
Now, what time do you normally get up to start moving around? I usually get up around 7, that's or 6, that's when my alarm clock's set. And if I get right up and jump in the shower, I'm usually on the road by 6:30, you know, maybe 6:40. But often I'm up, you know, 5 or 10 minutes before the alarm, and, you know, I just get up then. When do you normally get up?
I'm usually up 5:20, 5:30.
Yeah, the days that I do that, because I wake up before the alarm generally, and the days I do that usually are best because I have time to, you know, really kind of take my time. And because when I get up at 6, I got to pretty much just get right up and get right in the shower and, you know, feed the cat, get my crap ready, and walk out the door. That's my routine every morning. But that would give me a little bit more leisurely departure. Might work out better for the frame of mind. But, you know, 5:30, man, you got to be in bed by 10 if you want to be, you know, get a good night's sleep.
Yep, and that is difficult these days. In the summer, everybody's home. My wife's home from, she's a teacher, and my daughter's home from school, and everybody's hanging out. I go to bed before them, and, you know, I'd like to be in bed at 9:30, 10, and it seems like all this week it's been 11:30, and 5:30 comes really fast when you go to bed at 11 or 11:30.
W8RCY. Good morning, Donald. Yeah, that's same here. I like to be in bed by 10 if I can. I rarely am. But, well, I mean, sometimes I am. But if I hit 11, 11:30, it's like I'm going to pay for it. Donald, what say you?
Good morning, Anthony. Good morning, Sean. What say me? I try to shut down around 9 o'clock at night, shut everything off, and just put some music on and slowly drift off to La La Land. But then I get up early in the morning. I try to be up no later than 5. That's why I usually get. I don't set an alarm. But if I wake up like this morning at 3:45, I've been up. There's no point in me going back to bed. And I just got out of the shower and shaved about a half hour ago and just get my day going. But when I'm up that early, I usually just do my emails from overnight because I get emails from overseas and I respond to them, or I do some of my banking and finances stuff electronically, and then I talk to you guys.
Yeah, I haven't set an alarm in years. Every now and again, I know I go to bed like way too late, like after midnight, and I'll set one. But otherwise, I wake up at 5:30 no matter what. And on a different note, Sean, I saw, I think it was yesterday or the day before, I saw 2 or 3 state cops posted up on 696 East in the afternoon, and one had somebody pulled over. So maybe they're out there again.
It could be. I know everybody roses think about it. But their position was if they're not going to be patrolling the highways and communities that have their own departments, do the staffing and budget and all that stuff. That was the scuttlebutt that came down. But it never really got pushed hard. I don't know if there was a little pushback on it or what, but interesting. I wonder if there's, you know, you never know. They don't really talk about it, you know, but they could have a directive to get back out there. Hard to say. I'll look at my emailings. I generally ignore.
I remember a few summers back, since I've lived out here, they used to line up on entrance ramps, like around, let's just say hypothetically Van Dyke, or Mound, yeah, it was Mound they used to hang out at. And they'd have an officer up around Hoover or Van Dyke and clocking people. And, you know, they'd fly by and they would save the car, and the police would be lined up around the corner at Mound just waiting for them to fly by. And they were already at speed, so they'd just basically pull up alongside of them. They were just picking them off like cherries left and right. That was a few years ago. I take it there's a, being in the middle of this conversation, another enforcement going on, crackdown, whatever, because of all the accidents.
Oh, I don't know if it was a crackdown or enforcement. It was just I noted that I was seeing some, and it's been a while since I've seen them, and I'm, you know, part of me's glad that it's, they're back out there, because it has literally turned into a raceway. It is unbelievable how fast people go. And then the negative to that is I might be one of those people that go pretty fast, and so I don't want to get a ticket, so I gotta calm it down a little bit. But it has gotten a little dangerous, I would say. I'd be shocked if they're not out there again because of speeds and accidents. I'm about to pump some gas. I should be out for one, maybe two rounds. KERUH.
Okie dokie. Yeah, it seems like I'm turning into one of those guys. I've been pulled over 3 times for speeding in the last year. And one was in Madison Heights, and the guy didn't know me and didn't care. And but he did switch it to a no proof of insurance, so I just had to, you know, pay the court. And but then I got pulled over twice. Just one was just Friday, and guy, you know, just the last two, guy walks up to me, looks at me, shakes his head, he goes, "What are you doing, Sean?" He goes, "I don't got time for this." And I says, "Sorry." So the last two have been guys I knew. And they were like shaking their heads. Oh, well. Donald.
Sorry, I was laughing so hard. Still laughing. Yeah, I've had those issues too when I was living on the east side because of my connections with the Shores back in the day, and some of the neighboring municipalities as well, because they kind of knew me over the CB radios back in the days, but they never knew me in person. And then they realized who I am and the car and everything else that I had. And it's like, "Oh yeah, you're a legend." And I go, "Well, you know," but I got pulled over. I actually pulled myself over. Northbound Gratiot, north of 16, break. Where Gratiot splits at the old Chrysler dealership, which I believe is gone. It's that little right turn, left turn thing. And I came around that corner, and I was doing 55 and a 35. And the only vehicle sitting in that parking structure, that little strip mall there, looking right at me, and I'm looking right at him, and I just turned my turn signal on, and I pulled up alongside of him, you know, and I see, he starts laughing, he says, "You making my job easy?" I said, "Yeah," and he just gave me, he let me off with a nice warning, but, yeah, that was one of my good moments.
I'm back, gentlemen. Alright, yeah, Sean, I know how that goes. Back in the day, like I told you, I used to work for the City of Mount Clemens, and at the time, they managed their own fleet of police cars, and I knew a bunch of the cops, so there was all kinds of tricks of the trade back then where you, you know, just did certain things and dropped certain names and things happened and didn't happen because you knew people. So I would imagine it's a much different these days with body cams, but it was good to be coming up in those days. I'm sure you guys know that.
Yeah, you know, that's the problem. You can't, a lot of things can't slide in the body camera error, traffic camera error, or, you know, in-car video. But, I remember one, this was way back, this was like in the early 90s. I don't know if, Donald, you remember Darwin or Ron Chester or Darwin Gentile, but I got pulled over on Harper for 5 over, and Harper was ridiculous. I think at the time it was 30 miles an hour, which is just outrageous. And this was before the law that made them change it, but I got popped for 5 over, and I bought the car like the day before, and I always watched it, because we work right there at 10 and Harper, and I was at between 10 and 11 on way into work. Chester pulls me over, and he's like, you know, he writes me the ticket, and I says, you know, and I told him, I says, you know, I'm just on my way down here to work at the radio shop. You know, get that in there, right? He's, oh, well, why didn't you tell me? And I said, you know, and I said, well, I'm telling you now. And he says, well, he goes, just, you know, come to court, we'll take care of it, and all this. And, so I get talking to Darwin. Darwin's like, get the hell out of here, bring that thing in. He goes, God, he's just shaking his head. And it was, Chester wrote it, wouldn't do nothing about it. And then he brought in, this is the part of the story I was kind of running towards. And about a week later, he comes in with a personal radio, and he comes in, he goes, can you take a look at this for me? And I'm thinking, you bastard.
Yes, that era. When Chester, Hayden, Troster, Jenny, Otoy, Waterpot. Oh, God, there's so many I can go down the list. This would be the week of my sister's late little boy's passing, and the funeral was within this week. But the funeral was so, the funeral home down there at Martin and Jefferson Break, called Funeral Home, handled the arrangement, and we had 337 cars in the procession. It was a rainy day, and the next thing we knew, we had motorcycle cops, we had police officers, we had everything, and it was Darwin Gentile that gave this little boy, excuse me, not quite four, died on an operating table, a full police escort, from the funeral home to St. Isaac Joe's Church there behind the old radio shop there at Tennant Harbor, and all the way out to Resurrection Cemetery. And I just talked to Darwin earlier this week about it. So Darwin and I go way back, and those whole era of police officers for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, it's definitely different out there now, but they keep it probably a little bit better under wraps than they did when we were young. So that's not a bad thing necessarily. But I'm pulling up at the office here, so I'll catch up with you guys a little later.
KRUH,
have a good day, guys.
All right, Anthony, have fun at work. Don't have too much fun, but, you know, have just enough to get you through the day. Later. Let me 8F you.
Have a good day, Anthony. Week's almost over. We'll catch up with you either on the way home or tomorrow morning. WARCY. Over to you, Sean.
All right. Yeah, Darwin was one of the good ones. He was great. I like that guy. Always a stand-up dude. But
How about Subcheck? Remember Subcheck? He was like younger, you know, than those guys. Came in a little later. Came in a little after them.
I knew Gary Soap, but Soapcheck doesn't ring a bell. I also knew Banker. The Banker passed away. And then there was Goosens as well, Charlie Goosens. He joined the force and just after I almost decided to become a cop. But, yeah, Charlie and he was good friends with us, and as well as my family and everybody else. And then lately, oh, Josh, what's his name? Give me a second.
Well, I don't know nearly as many as you, but no, Subcheck, I just wonder if you knew him. He was our contact over there for the longest time, and he used to dabble in repairs. He used to attempt to do a little, whatever repairs he could himself. So I'd come in, and on his desk would be a couple of radios I needed to pick up to look at. He'd look at a car, and he'd have to grab a couple of radios to take in the shop, and he'd have another one apart where he was trying to replace a case or a, you know, or, you know, figure out what was wrong with it, a display. I didn't shake my head. I go, man, I said, you're trying to take our work. He says, yeah, trying to save money.
Yeah, the other person I was thinking of was Bergeron, Harold Bergeron. He's left the department as well, but when my father passed, he was there, and he sat with my mom at the hospital until we all got there, because my brother was in, well, actually, my brother went out to the house, and the ambulance had already left, but he was coming in from the airport, driving out to Muskegon, and then turned around and had to come back. But by the time, you know, between, you know, everything that happened with my dad, he stayed with her through the whole thing, and my mom, and became a good friend of my mom's, and when she died a couple of years ago, he was kind of brokenhearted and everything. But yeah, there were a lot of really, really good guys back from about 1972-ish, and Lattice was the chief, Art Lattice, all the way through till just about, I pretty much lost touch with the department since the last chief, Bowman, left. So I had a pretty good run with the city.
I just pretty much knew the crew that was there in the 90s, and then when they switched me up to, you know, when they switched me up to the sheriff's department, I didn't get in there quite as much. You know, we used to work right there at Tenant Harper, and so those guys were in there all the time. We were over there all the time, and that's how you got to know everybody. But once they moved me up here, I really started to lose touch, and as the guys started retiring, I'm noticing the same thing's going on at Warren. God, for, you know, for 20 years, I was embedded down there and knew everybody, you know, top to bottom. And I go in there now because I still got to go in there for, you know, things. And, I, you know, there's a few people left that I recognize, but, man, it just burned over completely. It's like I don't hardly recognize anybody in there anymore.
Well, my ex-wife and her sister, my ex-sister-in-law, they worked in restaurants in the Warren area, and we had a constant flow of Warren's finest in those two restaurants within the city, and because there were two restaurants. There were the era of Sambo's, Seasons, and Silverman's, and one was at 11 and Grove Spec, and one was just down the street from our place here. It used to be a Seasons and a Sambo's, and then it became a Bonanza, and now it's a FOP place, Vietnamese. It was right next door to Crash Landing, so you know exactly where it is. But yeah, we used to have a bevy of police officers from the city of Warren that I got to know because of my connections with the St. Clair Shores guys. But that was in the 80s more so than anything earlier than that, because the 80s was the 9 years, 1 month, and a day that I was buried. And knew a lot of those officers then, and I still keep in touch with a few of them. I hear from them, or I see them, or come across somebody on social media, and kind of reminisce a little bit. But yeah, again, you know, things, you know, 30, 40 years ago aren't like they are now for sure. But, yeah. Oh, yeah. How things are done. Man, what a change. When I first started out here, it was pre-cell phone, pre-internet. Well, it was right about the cell phones were just on the verge of hitting, but nobody really had them for a number of years. You know, just very few and far between for a while. But, you know, no cell phones, no mobile data terminals, no, man, trying to keep them things running in the back of the cars. Oh, there's just all the dirt and dust and vibration and everything like that. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Technology sure has changed for sure. Most definitely. But, yeah, there was one more thing I was going to say. I lost my train of thought, but it'll come to me after you get to the office, and I'll remind you about it later. But, those were the days for sure. And, like I said, though, I still talk to a few people. I don't know. I know some warm police officers that may no longer be with us. I'm not sure on most of them, but from the 80s. But, like I say, I mean, I know Darwin's like 84 now, I think. And, yeah. And a lot of the other guys, Tom Jenny, I don't know where you were. I don't know if you were with the Shores when he had his accident in 77 in a high-speed pursuit. But, he came back to work from that, but he didn't stay long. And on the road, he went and did radio comm work, and then he became a detective, and then I think he retired in 94. But Tom Jenny was in my wedding party, and probably half of the force was at my wedding. My reception was down at that banquet hall at 9:30 in Harper. Ordering. And come on, next up at the window. Look at that.
It's that mobile.
Don't know who that was. All I heard was Zed Mobile. Morning, Jerry.
Morning. Yeah, I'm just headed home from work. And I've got one more 12 to do.
Where you been? I haven't heard you in a while. Is that because TJ's machine was down?
I can't get into your FBI site on the in the mobile. I don't know why. I guess too far away.
Okay. And keep an eye on the machine. Let me know how it works for you. Because I know we used to be able to carry you all the way into your driveway, but it's got a lesser antenna. The antenna was bad. It was a DB420. And you have to switch it over to a DB408. So, curious how much impact that's going to have on the footprint. But anyhow, Donald?
I got to sign off. I'm in the middle of a phone call. I'll catch up with you later, Sean. And Jerry, have a great day. W8RCY.
Where'd you go, Jerry?
I'm here. So how's it going, Sean?
Not too bad, not too bad. Did you hear what I said about the antenna change on the 175?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, well, I'm running, 85 watts, so we'll see what happens.
85 watts, you animal.
I'm like in repeater black hole out here. there's a couple downriver ones, but that's about it.
All righty. Well, you sound great. You're in solid. Are you just leaving work now? You're probably still in the Dearborn area.
I'm at Eureka in Middle Belt.
All right. I'll be curious to see if it carries you into the driveway. Problem is, I'm making my final approach here. I'm going to be turning into the parking lot and parking, and I got to get inside. So I'll flip it on inside the office, and hopefully you can call out at least when you get, you know, on the final approach.
Okay. Yeah, real good. So, yeah, finally got power back. I got power back at home on Tuesday. And I guess Wednesday I was trying to catch up on laundry and a whole bunch of other stuff at home. Yeah, we got whacked by that storm. A bunch of trees went down in the yard and fun stuff.
Oh yeah, we got the heat power outage. So when we had just before the 4th, we had that stretch of hot days. We got my parking spot available. Yes, it is. Anyhow, we got whacked with that. Lost our power for about 24 hours. Wasn't terrible. And then Phil, who gets out here, he lost his on Friday. Didn't get it back till, yesterday? I don't know. He was out for quite a while. But, good to hear your power's back. And I am making my parking spot, so I'll hear your final, and then I'll be jumping out. So I'll make this my last. W8FU after yours.
Hey, very good. Yeah, well, I got a couple more miles to go. But, I got it back Tuesday. And then they came out, I think, Monday around 6 o'clock because the line went down in front of my house. And, they expanded the footprint with their yellow tape of where not the no-go shock zone. I thought, oh, that's great. I come home Tuesday morning, and I said, oh, that's great. They expanded the footprint. I imagine it's going to be another day or so. But they had it fixed by the afternoon.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KCKJO.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KCKJO. KCKJO. Here is WARIT returning. Morning, Tom.
Where are you traveling down to today?
Well, Jay and I are leaving McDermott. He's going to this one. I'm heading over to Four Star. Pick up some proper wire that Billy failed to get.
Gotcha. I'm stuck on 696 westbound at Woodward trying to get over to 8 Mile in Greenfield. Figured since I'm here, I'd put TGA's repeater to the some exercises, I guess you can say.
They try to stretch out and see how far it can reach with a good signal.
Yeah, pretty much. Had some issues or got the kinks worked out, and they asked me that in my travel to work her a little bit. I went from an MTR to a Quantar, so just doing some tweaks here and there.
Very good. Oh, hey, no, one thing I was going to ask, maybe like you or Dakota, let me ask you this.
going to probably hold off because we're talking layout, so I'm kind of becoming mini Pearl. Just going to save up just in case there's that eventuality for myself. Like, if I were to go out and I was talking about getting a Motorola GMR, like a 4550 or a 5550. Let me ask you this. Is there a difference, or is it the same thing, just different terminology, I guess, for a 5550, and is there a 5550G? Is there a difference, or are there just kind of, saying the same thing in a different manner?
Well, the 4550 is a UHF digital, and it's just got the standard display on it, the standard mic. And the 5550E is what I have. And that one's got, I think, a little bit more features on it. It's got the full-color display on it. And they both program the same way. You know, the one thing is cost different. But they both do Moto Turbo, you know, the IP connect where it does the auto roam.
Yeah, I think there was just like the difference on the display and that. But I just wanted to know for the 5550 if there's a difference in the model. You know, is there a 5550 and then the 5550E maybe has some slightly different features? Or are they the same radio?
That I could not answer. I got the 5550E. And it's got a little antenna connection on the back, which I think is Bluetooth. I'm not sure what it's for. WHDD or WAFU would have a little bit more information on that than I would.
W8RCY.
Oh, hey, Donald. Go ahead and then throw it over to RIT. Casey, could you?
Except for the basic models, the difference between the 5550 and the 5550E is E is capable of handling Wi-Fi. And the little thing in the back that you were mentioning, Tom, that's to plug in a GPS antenna locator, WRTY.
Well, let me ask you this then, Donald. For the Wi-Fi, what do you do with the Wi-Fi? Is that for speakers, you know, or... programming. Oops, I not make it. I was curious for the E model. You said that it has Wi-Fi. I was just kind of curious what the function is for the Wi-Fi. Is it for audio or like Bluetooth or is it for programming the radio, like to a module or something?
I think he stepped away for a second. Give him a minute.
Sorry about that. I locked in on the wrong channel.
Oh, no problem. I say we all grabbed the wrong mic, too. so many radios in there. I think we talked about that before. But I haven't heard the question, Donald. I'm curious for the E model now for the Wi-Fi. What the feature is? Is that for programming?
Yes, it's mainly for programming, used by Motorola majority of the time, and programming speed radios. And for Tom's question in the back, that little connection in the back has to hook up a GPS antenna for your vehicle.
Okay, pretty cool. Thanks. I was just going to comment that I had a couple weeks ago done some work. I forget whether it was on eBay or Amazon. I think it was on eBay, and I found somebody selling the 5550s. I think they had like 10 of them, and it seemed to be from a, from a reputable location here in the States here. I think they were somewhere down in Alabama, but I think they had the 5550s. Nice shape. You know, they showed pictures that they were, good condition aesthetically and working. And I think they were for $300, so I was like, should have got it, but I'm not to take a look and see if you still got them there. But like I say, I've kind of become Mini Pearl temporarily, holding on to my money. W-A-R-A-T.
One other thing you got to be careful of is make sure you get the right frequency band, especially with the UHF radios. There's an R1 band, which is the low side of the UHF spectrum, and an R2. When I ordered my radios, there was an R2 that was mixed in with an R1 by mistake. I ended up getting that radio for free, but it does not handle the amateur radio band. It's only good for like an upper side, 470 or 450 and above. So that one's got GMRS in it only. And another thing you got to be careful of is the scan feature, because that's how I locked in on the wrong channel just now. I forgot to shut the scan off, and I accidentally broadcast it on the GM repeater. So those are little things you got to learn. The little quirks about these radios you got to, figure out and understand, plus the bazillion other things. W8RCY.
All right. Donald, appreciate it. And the E model that I get for having Wi-Fi, that would not really be something I would want to pay extra for. If it comes with it, fine, but yeah, that probably wouldn't matter to me. And then Dakota was saying to just check on some other options. I did notice that before for the two different frequency bands on UHF for Motorola, the low and high band. And then I think Dakota said you have check on two things like, you might have to get a programming cable, and then some of them do not come with like a power cord and or a microphone. So I think the one that I looked at had all of those. It had the power cord, microphone, and same thing. It looked like it was not brand new condition, but it didn't look like it had been beaten up, scratches, or anything like that. So I might go take a look and see if they're still up there and grab one here. And then what about the software? I think, Tom, I think you told me before that you have to go and you would register on the Motorola website and then get the software in that direction, correct?
Correct. You got to get the programming cable and you got to get the software. And then after that, then you have to get the entitlement for the 25 offset. And that's like $5. The software is free, but the entitlement for wideband is like $5.
What is the entitlement? Is that sort of like a license key?
Yes, because they're narrow band, they only have a 12.5 separation. So with the wideband entitlement, quote-unquote license, that opens up to a 25 deviation instead of, for wideband.
Okay, thanks for that, Chip. I was unaware of that. You mean I can't use both time slots at once?
No, it's for analog and for digital. If it only comes as a 12.5 kilohertz offset, which is narrow band, so to get the wideband entitlement, you got to pay for it.
Oh, I see. So you can have the radio do analog. Okay, I got it. I thought it was the other way around. I'd probably do it for the $5. Yeah, that's not a big thing, but I wouldn't buy that radio for analog.
They're not bad little radios for analog. I'm talking on my 7550 EHT right now. I'm only running 1 watt because I talked to my node, but still, they're serious radios. If you're going to make the investment, it's like you go big or you go home.
You're right, and then you do get what you pay for, and I do consider Motorola pretty high quality.
Yeah, they are. I mean, my radios are about, 6 years old, seven years old now. I've had them for 7 years, and they haven't skipped a beat, and they're well taken care of. I bought these 7 years ago, and they're still running just as good as the day I got them.
Oh, I love my Motorola. You know, I had the 4500 VHF version, but one of the Claire guys needed a 2-meter version, so I'm like, it's just sitting here. So I gave it over to him, and he loves it. You know, because he's got his VHF and his UHF rigs. You know, like Phil, he's got one of each or however he's set up all in. But yeah, definitely I would invest in a Motorola 5550, Dave. Well worth it. And I got the DTMF mic, so that was like another $120. The cable's cheap. The cable's like $15, and the programming cable is like $10. You know, so for a good $500 investment, you'll have a good dirty radio for UHF analog and DMR, and good power on it. They're robust.
Yeah, I've heard, for a long time, I've heard a lot of anecdotal stories about Motorola and how well they work. Just things, like, I think I heard something, I don't know if it's true or not, but it was something like a California Highway Patrol officer had been in an accident and flipped over his vehicle and broke off the antenna, so it wasn't fully on, and I guess it was basically showing you very, very little connection to the antenna, but it was still outputting something, so he was still able to summon his help. Anyways, I'm going to bail here because I'm almost to my next stop here. So I appreciate the tips and all that here. And then, Tom, maybe if you could, send me a screenshot of some of the screens for, like, the columns for programming the radio through the Motorola software. I'd kind of like to see, you know, what the learning curve is for that. If that'll be, you know, kind of second nature, or, well, I wouldn't say second nature, because I'm still learning, and I had to kind of model my knowledge of getting my code plug done from the version from Cliff. I used his to start off with, so I'm following his lead. Anyways, Tom, will toss it back to you, and let you gentlemen carry on. Have a great morning or afternoon, and we'll yak at you later. WARIG.
Yes, the Motorola CPS Moto Turbo is, it's a different learning curve, but once you get used to it, it's pretty cut and dry, and then you just make your modifications and send it to the radio, and boom, you're on the air kind of thing. So yeah, when I get a chance, I'll take a picture of it, but I like it. It's very, once you get used to it, it becomes almost second nature and very easy to program. All right, Dave, I'll let you be. I know where you're heading off to, so I'll chat with you later. So 73 to you from KCKPO. Donald, if you're still there, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm still here. It sounded like somebody was trying to double over you, Tom. So if there's another station out there, go ahead. All righty then. All right. Yeah, I just put my 2 cents in with the experience with these radios, and if he gets a 5550, most likely that radio will have the software that he would need. It would probably be the 16 and not the 2.0 software, because the newer E's run on that. But either one, I think he might be able to get away with either one. I'm not sure. You'd have to check with Huawei on that one, because I have both, but and I use the 16 more than I use the 2.0, but to each his own. And like I said, if he does get one, well, I can guide him on that one. All right, I'm out of here. I got to get downstairs. I got physical therapy. I'm actually running late. It's my fault, not theirs. So have a good day, W8RCY.
All right, Donald, good luck with PT. I know how strenuous it is, believe me, by far. All right, 73 to you. I'll talk to you later. KCK.
of you. We got you, Cape here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I found I figured out what was going on with the pushover.
And?
Well, I was just, when I did it, I just restarted Asterix. I figured, that should work. Well, I decided, just try a full reboot. And once I did that, came up working.
Oh, my God. I didn't even mention that because I thought you would know that the only way that script's going to run is by restarting.
Oh, so there's more to it than just Asterix. Okay.
Well, no, but you're calling, you've got a new version of Repeater Config. You're running on the old version that doesn't have those start commands, stop commands modified to run your script, and it's running off the old one. Until you reboot or restart Asterisk, then it reloads the new Repeater Config, and any changes you made will then be manifest.
Oh, that's weird, because in the past when I made changes to repeat that config and just do a asterisk restart, it usually works. Oh, I don't know. All right, I should get in the habit of just doing a full reboot every time.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you said that's what you didn't do. You said you did an asterisk restart. Okay, that'll take care of the changes to repeater config. Other than that, you put some scripts in the asterisk/ either configs or something, but or scripts subfolder, so somewhere they could be found. The path wasn't modified, so you shouldn't have to do anything there. I'd have to think why you might have had to. Oh, you have to restart extension stuff. No, do you? No. I'd have to think what else might need to have been restarted that you didn't restart.
Well, that CONNPGM, is that a separate program? Maybe that has to be restarted.
No, it's a function that's been described. And so, it knows that if you have that line uncommented, it knows it's going to run whatever that line tells it to run. It's not in and of itself a command. It's just it's like the cop commands, whichever ones are, uncommented will be available. Connect config and disconnect config is just like a function. What it's pointing to is the thing that has to get updated.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Because all that is just a script. And once you put it in there, because I was from the command line, I was running the script, putting in my own parameters, and it was working. So that was functioning right then. But anyways, it's working now anyway. So anyways, my another thing is my E5 still has not shown up. It's, I think it's lost in the postal system. I'm running over the post office right now to see if they can give me some information. It shows it's been in Virginia for a week.
Oh, good grief. it figures.
Yeah, and you can't get anybody on the phone, so just running over there. See what they can tell me. I had this before where it doesn't show where it is, and then they find out it's sitting in the distribution center, and over there in, where is it? South Boulevard and Updike. And it's just sitting there and nobody's scanned it yet. So, anyway, I'm just about to pull in there. So, all right, talk to you later. KDPR.
All right, good luck. Hopefully they'll say, oh, it's here. Here you go. You know, that ain't going to happen, but we can hope. You wait a few.
Well, it's still in Virginia and coming by carrier, Turtle. So they're on tape here.
No, I was on the phone. You called?
Yeah, I was just saying it's in Virginia coming by carrier Turtle.
Is that where the vendor is you bought it from?
Yeah, it's still at their post office distribution center, and they sent it, you know, the low, of course, the cheapest rate ground. And they said it's still waiting to be loaded on a truck to get over here.
Yeah, somebody dropped the ball on that. They know it's there then, because a lot of times what happens is it just doesn't get scanned in. And I've had them where they show up at my door, and it still says it's stuck at a distribution center or something. It's like it just drops off the system, and next thing you know, it shows up. So I've had that happen. You know, and then when it shows up, generally all the tracking shows up. It's like, what the hell? How'd that happen?
Yeah, well, I don't know if she actually contacted them. She went in the back for a while, and she says it's there. And so I don't know if she actually talked to somebody or she just looked in her system.
And when was that supposed to be delivered? You were supposed to have that earlier this week, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to be delivered yesterday.
Well, I might be going out on a limb here, but I'd say they're going to miss that.
You think? Yeah, I was hoping to put it in today, but anyways, I wouldn't be able to. Anyways, we got a funeral to go to this afternoon.
Well, you can't, so I guess you're free and clear for the funeral. Sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, somebody we've known for quite a while, Parkinson's, terrible disease.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That and ALS. I've known more than a few people that have succumbed to ALS, and that's another just absolutely horrible one.
All right, well, so if this doesn't show up, it's, I guess, you know, thankfully this is through PayPal, so I should be able to get my money back.
Yeah, that's the only, I guess, relief is that, you know, if it sucks, but at least you're not going to be out your money. All right, good luck.
All right, catch you later. KPR.
WNFU.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KCAKJL.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
WDHKLO on the mobile.
KFNCIC. Go ahead.
Jack, WDHKLO, you're probably not going to hear me very good. I'm on the HT in the truck. Roger.
Oh, you sound like a killer. Oh, no, nothing. Audio is good, too.
Okay, you're just not coming through good on my end here. So how you doing, Jack?
Oh, very good. How about you?
Well, I'm a non
32, that's right.
Oh, we're doing good. Just hoping to get into the doctor here next week for my checkup, and other than that, all is good on my end.
Yeah, that's good. I hope nothing's going on. I hope 100% better. Roger.
Roger, roger. Over, under. What's going on, guys? KCAKJL.
Go ahead, Greg.
KCAKJL. How you doing, Tom?
All sweating like bullets, going to my next run. All local today, heading to Romulus from Oak Park, and then from Oak Park to Warren. It's one of those days. How's it going, Jack? KCAKJL.
Oh, very good, Tom. By the way, Greg, I'm studying today, too. I've been studying every day, so I should be done by Friday or Saturday.
All right, good to hear, Jack. Yeah, like I said, like to get you on that HF net here one of these nights. I'm rooting for you. Hopefully you can get that general ticket.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
Eventually, when time permits, I'll start working on my general as well. $10 says that Jack will get it before I will. Go ahead, Greg.
All right, guys. I hope you both get it, honestly. It's a whole different world over there in the HF net, or HF side, I should say. Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun. Put a beam up not too long ago and getting ready to put up a 80-meter sky loop about 280 feet of wire up in the air. So I'm in it to win it. WDHKLL, back to you.
Yeah, well, that's good. If you're in it, that's good. Go ahead, Tom.
I just have so many projects right now. I mean, I got the RPC stuff at the county. Reappointed and elected or whatever, renominated for chairperson of the planning commission for my town. So doing that for another 2 years. And it's just one thing after another. Busy, 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 busy.
Well, that's good. Busy, busy all the time is good. Anyhow, I wouldn't worry too much about that general, but really because I've been going on 10, on 20 and 40 meter. And there's few guys, like hardly somebody on that 20 meter. And at 40 meters, about 3-4 guys, and that's about it for now.
Jack, there's three or four guys on 40 meters, I can tell you that. I've been hunting POTA, and man, I was on there this morning. Even 6 meters was up. Had some guys on there doing POTA. But, yeah, it's hit and miss out there, but you got to have a good antenna, and I got a program that hunts the guys out there doing POTA, and they're out there. You just got to have a good antenna and the right propagation.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but you know what, the vertical will do it all, I think. That's what I think.
My wife will not
be happy. Go ahead, Tom.
I got enough so far.
Yeah, he's doubled.
Go ahead, Jack.
I think the vertical will do it. The vertical is a good antenna, and it's got all these, but a few other ones they don't have, which is you can put that wire in and it'll be all set, like what I did. Really, last week I was on a 6 meter, and I talked to about 5-6 guys. One of them was from Canada, and the other one is from the U.S. I was talking to them. Go ahead, Greg.
Okay, guys, I got to jump out of here. I just pulled into my destination here. I'm going to jump out of here, and I don't know if you guys will be back here or not, but WDKLL, I'll be clear.
All right, Greg, yeah. It's always perfect timing because I'm about to pull up to my next account. So I'll say 73 TFO. KCKKL.
All right, guys, good to hear you out there. Good talking to you. We'll talk again. KFA, GIC.
City.
We'll always rock in the city.
All right, I'm on a handheld mobile, so I just wanted to say hi. And we'll chat with you later. Hope you enjoyed the pictures, Jack. KFA does.
I always do. Whatever you send me, I don't mind. Anyhow, you're sounding good, but if you're a little bit of crackling. So I don't know what kind of antenna you got, but that's a little bit of crackling. That's all. But your audio is perfect. KFA, GRC.
All right, roger that. Yeah, I'm on M53 at Hall here, and I'm going south. I got to go to the dealership to sign some papers. So fun. So, all right, I'll talk to you later. I'm going to focus on the road. KFA.
Well, now no cracklings anyhow. All right, good talking to you. Take care. Drive safe. KFA, GSC.
WDKLL back in the mobile.
And I haven't left. I'm just sitting here eating lunch.
Sounded good. Crystal clear. I'm pulling out of the Burton post office here up in near Flint.
Know it quite well. My son lives there.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up the center in Maple. My stomping grounds here.
Okay, he lives right there off of Center and whatever that one road is, not up here, the other one.
Oh, you got Hill, Bristol, Maple, Lippincott, Lapeer.
Center and Lippincott.
Okay, yep, I know right where it's at. Yeah, it's my stomping grounds. I'm off Hill and Maple area.
He is off of Lippincott or something. I know I turn north on Lippincott from Center. And I go down a bit and I go into the neighborhood over there.
I heard you talking to the fellows from Ireland yesterday. That was pretty cool. Coming in on I think you said Echolink.
Yeah, I think that's Glenn and Jim. And they both sent me a QSO email.
Yeah, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often that people pick up that note somehow and start monitoring. That was the first time I've heard somebody, you know, across the pond anyways.
I know, they were ecstatic. They were really excited. He just got his ticket, and that was his first contact over the pond.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to, I don't know if it's that way in Ireland there, or I think that's where he was from, but, I mean, you're a tech, and you just got an HF contact. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, I've been on DMR 91 and made contacts over there in Paraguay. But I am done eating now, and my coworker just pulled away from me, so I have to go follow him. I'll talk to you in a bit. Ready. 73 on your final. KT. Good deal.
Okay, John, good talking with you. I guess technically it's not really an HF contact. It's through the Internet. It's a echo link. But anyways, all right, my friend, we'll talk to you later. KCAKJO from WDAKLL. We're clear.
Copy.
Real quick, yeah, KCKJO.
Station calling.
I heard you, but I was occupied with a pen. KCKJO, sound good though. What tower are you coming in on? You're a little hazy right now.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KCKJO. W8FU.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KFHGSD.
Oh, man. Good afternoon. GSD. And, I said I wouldn't remember. So, anyhow, Sean here, W8FU.
Hello, Sean. This is Chris. Kilo Foxtrot 8. Godspeed to GSD. How's your day been so far?
Not terrible. Got a little draggy right at the end. Usually I look up and it's like, holy cow, got this, that, and the other, and out the door, days fly. But today, all of a sudden, I looked up and it's like, I got an hour and a half to go. Can't remember looking up at the clock and the day dragging like that. But
Then I turned away, and next thing you know, it was quitting time, so. But about 5 minutes from home. And it's Thursday, so one day to go.
Not bad, not bad at all. I just got home 1 minute ago, too, so I just changed out of my work clothes, and I'm waiting for my roommate to take his clothes out of the dryer so I can wash my own clothes. So in the meantime, I'll just be drawing over here. Nothing too crazy. That's the nice part about ham radio, though. You can do it whenever, wherever, as long as it's not supposed to be a quiet environment. But, yeah, definitely going to hang out and go to Ohio for the next couple days, just on a quick day trip to visit a friend.
Yeah, there you go. I haven't been down there in a while. Most of my family is moved. I had a lot of family in Clyde, Fremont, Upper Sandusky, up, you know, all through there, but they've all either moved on or passed on or moved somewhere else. So I don't get down there nearly like I used to. I think the last time I was down there for family stuff, it was during the eclipse. I made a quick visit to the cemetery in Clyde. Paid my respects to my grandparents and great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-grandparents.
Not bad, though. Sorry to hear about that, though. Hopefully the Ohio trip, other than that, was a good one, especially with the eclipse. I like to visit from time to time to visit my farmer friend down there and get Waffle House. That's one thing I wish Michigan had, Waffle House. And yes, I have driven down there on a lot of days off, only to get Waffle House. That's it.
Hey, PKJ. Hello, Tom. Yeah, it'd be cool if we got a few here. That would definitely be cool. And, oh, yeah, no big deal on the, my grandparents are the closest relatives down there, and they've been gone for decades, so. And they went at a very old age, 95 and 98 or something like that, so nothing sad about it. Just visit them, pay my respects, and, you know, won't be back down there for another 5-10 years. So, Tom, what's happening? Little squall up here in Sterling Heights. Nothing serious. How you doing? I passed over to Chris.
Sweaty and sticky because of the humidity, and I see the darkness to the west here on Mountain 696. So did you figure out the issue with Kitty spiting you in your bedroom, so to say?
Go ahead, Chris.
I'm sorry, I was a little bit hyper-focused on drawing over here, too, but, yep, if they did bring a Waffle House up here, I would completely lose it. That'll be the only thing I'd ever eat, too. You have no family at all in Ohio, except for some third cousins that I haven't seen in about a decade, which is about half my life, but, back to you, and, it sounded like you asked a question about your cat.
Well, a Waffle House or two would be nice up this way, even if they put one just north of the border, you know, get one up there by the Detroiter or something. Be nice to break into the Michigan market. And the other thing I'd like to get here is I'd like there to be a Buc-ee's, but I don't know if there'll ever be a Buc-ee's here because Michigan is a destination. It's not a pass-through. And the Buc-ee's are usually where there's a lot of pass-through traffic. You never know, though. Buc-ee's are cool. And, Tom, no, I didn't figure it out, but what I did is I just said, you know, that's it, you're banned from the bedroom. And I haven't had a single problem since. It was only a problem in my room on my bed, and it only seemed to be when I was in there and he was trying to get my attention. So it's some behavioral issue, and now that I don't let him in my room, problem solved. kind of a bummer. I'm hoping maybe when he's not a little kitten and he grows out of this crazy phase, maybe we can revisit. But for now, he's persona non grata in the boudoir. Go ahead.
That's good. I have the same problem with our pit bull. In regards to Waffle House, oh yeah. If one comes into the state, I'll definitely take the trip to go snack at that establishment. I like Waffle Houses back in California, along with El Pollo Loco. You haven't had roasted chicken until you've had a Pollo Loco. And yeah, I'd like to see a Bucky's up here too. That'd be interesting. Go ahead, Chris, and hello, KJKJO.
Well, I've never ever been to a Bucky's yet, so I'm not exactly sure what it is, but from what I've heard, it is definitely a destination in of itself. And I agree that probably Michigan is going to get one for the next foreseeable future. I'm just really surprised that Waffle House was removed from Michigan. That is just very bizarre. I really wish that they did have it a lot more prevalent. And the food's good. They're open all day, every day. And it's reasonably priced. Like, I'd say it's a better price than McDonald's. And you get a lot more value for your what you pay. And that's what I really like about Waffle House. Let's move down to the next line.
Well, I don't ever remember there being one in Michigan, so I don't know about their leaving, but I don't know if we ever had one, but there must be a reason. They must have to keep the supply chains, within a region that they can, got to make sure you get them hash browns fresh to market. But as far as Bucky's go, it's kind of like this just absolutely ginormous, I don't want to call it a truck stop because I don't think they really cater to that market. I mean, they do and they don't, but it's an oasis on the highway. They're usually out of major cities by a good clip. They're usually not right on the verge of a city. They're down south and toward Texas and out that way, and they just got everything. I mean, you can even buy, clothing and barbecues and stuff like that there, so they've really got a pretty wide variety of things, but they're famous for a few things, their jerky and their food and stuff, and they're huge and they're clean and gas, and it's just a highway oasis, I guess. I call it a truck stop, but I don't think that does it justice. So, they are cool. But you don't need but one in a region. You make a pilgrimage to it. That's about it. Oh, there's a truck at the local Crave. I wonder if they're actually working on it. Who knows? One day it'll be open. This might be my last, because I am coming up on my side street here. Just turn onto it here in a second. Tom, go ahead, and we'll see if I get another one in. But if not, W8FU.
Bucky's isn't a truck stop, it is a travel destination, or destination stop during your travels.
Hello, it was a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening here at your destination. I think I'm going to head off here as well once you do. So, this is KF8GSD, off on your final.
Okay. It was quick enough that it got around to me for the final. There's my house straight ahead. All right, catch everybody later. Chris, we keep bumping into one another, so we'll catch you next time. Tom, drive safe. Catch you later. W8FU.
All right, Sean, have a great night. Try to stay dry. Talk to you then. 73, KGO.
Well, take care, everyone, and have a wonderful day today. KF8GSD, clear.
Have a good one, Chris. KFAGO.
currently connected to CMN Network.
KJL. Alright, hello. KJL.
What? You're still around?
Well, kinda. If you count up here by Fenton and Holly and stuff and heading through Flint and going 69 to the west.
Well, all right. If you want to jump over to P-25, Wally's over there.
Yeah, let me see if I can get it from here. That'll be the thing.
Well, I could tell him to jump over here to UHF.
Connected to CMN Network.
KEAWUO.
Hey, John, head over to P-25.
WRO. Why, hello, Tom and Tim. You guys doubled a little bit, but I'm mainly just doing a quick test. To see if I'm getting in here real quick. Over to the NAWRO.
You're good in Richmond. That's for sure, loud and clear. Tom's must be doing a double over there on P-25 with Wally.
Yeah, I can hear him. I'm gonna probably run the net from where I'm at with this radio, so I just wanted to kind of get a quick little check to see how I was coming in. Otherwise, I'd jump in on P-25 and say hello.
Yeah, I copy, John. That's a really good signal. I just feel bad giving signal checks because in the past and a while back there, I said, oh, it's all good, and then later on during the net something happens, but that's not going to happen with this radio. That's a good signal.
All right, well, good to hear. Yeah, I'm just kind of getting me through, getting the computer restarted and kind of fresh booted and going through a little bit of the motions. I know it's a little early, but rather kind of get all the ducks in a row and ready to go and maybe order a pizza while I wait. But yeah, I'm house sitting again at my aunt's, so this should work out pretty good. Knock on wood.
Alrighty, I can be your backup if you'd like, or Mike, whoever wants to do it. I'm looking at the radar right now. I don't think we're going to have any interruptions with Skywarn, but I don't want to jinx us, of course.
Yeah, I noticed when I left work that there was some rain, that had already passed through. I was a little surprised because I didn't know. Usually I can hear it at work or, some way, somehow I hear of it. But I must have been working too hard today. And but it worked out because, normally my windows are open a little bit in the truck, and today they were closed, so it worked out.
Well, good. Your interior didn't get a rain car wash then. That's good. All right. Sounds good, John. I'll cut you loose for now. I will be on the air, going to be home. Nothing going on, so we will join you for the net. NAWRO, after you.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Well, I'm going to get everything all tucked in and ready to go here, and maybe I'll jump on Discord in about an hour and see you over there.
That'll work for me. NAWRO clear for now.
KCKGO. NAWRO KCKGO.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KGHZ Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.